Blog Talk Radio.
To another live broadcast of Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. How you guys doing tonight? Today, February 9th, 2014. Live broadcast from Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you at in the country, hope that you're warm. If not, tonight it's going to be a hot show. So if you're somewhere cold, before this show's over tonight, you will be hot. Tonight, I think it's going to be one of the funnest shows I have done in a long time. I've been waiting a long time to do this show tonight. Let me recap. If you guys have not been listening to the show the past couple of weeks, the whole month of February, we're going to be highlighting Black history. But what we do, we're highlighting the real Black history. We're not highlighting a typical Black history that you expect, you know, I still got much love and respect for, of course, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass. I mean, without them, you know, a lot of stuff we couldn't do today, but we'll talk about here on Geyser Radio, a lot of Black history that's left out of the history books. Okay. Or Black history that sometimes our country feel like isn't worth teaching our children in our school systems. And so that's why your man, Dwayne Abernathy, is giving you guys Black history so you can teach your kids, so your kids can teach their kids, and on and on and on, generational history. And tonight is a subject tonight is something that created me. If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be the man I am today. And tonight we are talking about the history of hip-hop, baby. Yes, hip-hop. Hip-hop is everywhere now. You know, I can remember when hip-hop was like in this infancy stage. I'm the same age as hip-hop, pretty much. Well, technically, hip-hop is really, I would say, like, once hip-hop became, I guess, mainstream, or I would say organized, hip-hop and I are probably about the same age. You know, hip-hop really, believe it or not, started way back, you know, even back with over in Africa, you know, with the drum beats and everything. And hip-hop started way back in the 60s where you had people like Muhammad Ali rhyming and everything. But we're going to talk about the culture of hip-hop. The real culture of hip-hop pretty much started, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s. So that's why I'm saying that me and hip-hop, we're either the same age or hip-hop is a couple years older than me, but it's golden age. It's infancy. I always say that word wrong. Okay, its baby stages of hip hop, when hip hop was getting all getting organized, was like in the early 70s. So I was born in 1971, so I have lived hip hop my whole life. I am a product of hip hop. I am hip hop. I claim it all the time. I tell people all the time, you know, I give thanks to hip hop for my wife, for my, you know, I thank hip hop for the way I run my business. You know, I am hip hop. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to take a break, but then we're going to get into this whole hip hop culture. I'm going to take you guys all the way back in the day when the B-Boys first began. So get ready for this ride. Also, tonight I'm also give you guys terms from hip hop. You know, I'm going to educate the youngins out there who don't know the true history of hip hop. You know, they want to live it. They don't realize they live in a world of hip hop out of the history of the world you're living in. But then also I'm going to use hip hop terms that's going to bring back some great memories for some of my 35 and over heads out there. So we're going to get into this funky deaf hip hop tonight. We'll be back in a second. It's your man, Dwayne Evelyn. Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. Man, that was funky, fresh, and dope. What's up? This is your man, Dwayne, and you listen to Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com. Hip-hop. Man, I'm telling you guys, this is my first love, is hip-hop, man. I can remember when we used to go to the skating rink back in the day, and everybody had their little breakdancing crews. And you know what? Let me slow down. Look, I done got all geeked up. I done jumped into reminiscing on stories of back in my hip-hop days. But I forgot. I got to make sure that I educate the people who didn't really live the hip-hop life. Also, I got to educate, you know, any of the youngins out there who's listening. So, hip-hop. Hip-hop, believe it or not, it's a culture. Hip-hop is a culture. It actually started out as a subculture but it has grown so much in popularity in the past 40 years that it is mainstream culture now. I'm going to give you guys an example if you're not sure the difference between a subculture and mainstream culture. If you guys are familiar with motorcycle clubs, okay, like motorcycle clubs, like back in the after World War II or whatever, you started having a lot of people coming back from World War II purchasing motorcycles, okay? Well, a lot of these guys started creating these clubs, which was considered motorcycle clubs, okay? And they used to have their own little way of living, their own way of communicating with each other, even their own way of commerce or whatever, little subculture. But as years went on, it started getting bigger, bigger, bigger. So you started getting outlaw gangs, like say for instance, like the Hells Angels and bigger gangs like that, where it became more of a, you know, they went from a subculture. They're still a subculture, but they're kind of mainstream because a lot of people know about motorcycle clubs. Well, that's how hip-hop was. Hip-hop was pretty much started like in the South Bronx, you know, back in the early, late 60s in the South Bronx, New York City, right? Well, the state of New York, you know, it's the borough of the Bronx. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play you guys a clip. I'm going to take you guys way back. And the cool part about this clip is actually from the founding pioneers of hip-hop. You know, actually, they say the founder of hip-hop was a guy from Jamaica by the name of DJ Kool Herc. This clip, and I'm going to let you guys know ahead of time, this clip is a long, it's about 10 minutes long, but it's worth playing this 10-minute clip because it's going to take you guys into the world of hip-hop. If you didn't live hip-hop, or you wasn't interested in hip-hop like I was growing up, I want to experience this with you guys so you can feel what it felt like to be involved in hip-hop and growing up in hip-hop in the early days. So check out this clip. This is the history of hip-hop, and then when we get back, we're going to get into some more of moving forward here on YizerRadio.com. My microphone's going out. This is Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to YizerRadio.com, and this is Moving Forward. Now let's listen to hip-hop. I had to say that again, live radio, but I could tell my mic's going out. But here we go with the clip.
But there were new, sparse sounds coming from the mean streets of the Bronx. Rappers and DJs armed only with turntables and microphones were creating a powerful new music. And in urban dance clubs, computers and cutting-edge electronics made the DJ the star of the show, changing the rules as rock and roll entered the 1990s. Jamaica, 1,000 miles from the Bronx.
Come on now, let I know that you love my soul, and maybe that you never let I go. You can be so and so, so maybe say so.
Be DJs of Kingston had a long-held tradition of talking and singing over the heavy bass and drum rhythms of reggae recordings. And in the late 70s, that style was introduced to New York City by a Jamaican immigrant, DJ Kool Herc. Herc's dance parties became famous across the Bronx. He used two turntables, switching back and forth between the most propulsive, danceable sounds. One of his disciples was young Bronx DJ Joseph Sadler, who later became known as Grandmaster Flash. Flash was one of the first of a new breed, the disc jockey as artist, with the power to create as well as play hits.
I would say I took an arrangement that was on wax and rearranged it. I took the particular pieces and parts and passages that I felt would keep the crowd in a frenzy. I guess I was just one big human sampler, so to speak. once I was able to do that, I was able to start learning what I later called the acrobatics of doing the things I did on the turntable, which meant drop the record at the break part, push it out to the people, bend over, put it at the same section, and just keep constantly repeating it. You know, just wham, 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 wham.
In 1982, Grandmaster Flash and his crew of rappers, the Furious Five, recorded The Message, featuring Melly Mel. Early rap lyrics had dealt mostly with partying, but The Message set a new tone with its chilling account of ghetto life.
Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the sound, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with the touch of me possessed my car. So push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Unlike all the other established genres of music, they're confined, meaning that 8 times out of 10, there had to be a melody, right? And on top of the melody, the singer had to sing in a certain key. There was an intro. There was a chorus. There was a bridge. With hip-hop, that don't matter. You can sing off-key. Our subject matter that we can talk about are almost unlimited. Musically speaking, we can take a piece of Frank Sinatra. We can take a piece of Led Zeppelin. A horn blast from James Brown, a horn blast from anywhere, if it's properly strung together, this is hip-hop.
Graffiti art and rap music were part of the Bronx-based subculture called hip-hop. One of its leaders was Afrika Bambaataa, who founded Zulu Nation in 1976 as a social and political outlet for kids in the Bronx.
Rap was always here. You know, it was from way back in the time when God talked to Adam, Moses, all the prophets, he was rapping to them. When you have the Caesar and all them, when they ended talking about dial out, forsaking me and stuff, they were rhyming in their time. And even when you had Shakespeare and all that, he was rapping and rhyming in his time. So rap was always here.
He's going around saying that he's a championship fighter, but when he meets me, he'll fall 20 pounds lighter. He thinks that he's the real heavyweight champ, but after I'm finished, he'll just be a tramp. Now, I'm not saying this just to be funny, but I'm fighting Ernie because he needs the money.
Long before hip-hop culture permeated the Bronx, speaking in short staccato rhymes had been well established by Cassius Clay in the 1960s and by black radio DJs since the 40s. Now, in the 80s, a new style of dancing evolved to accompany the propulsive electronic beat. And competitive breakdancing was encouraged by community leaders like Bambaataa as an alternative to gang violence.
I said a hit. You don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up just the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat.
Before founding Zulu Nation, Bambaataa had himself been a lieutenant in a notorious Bronx street gang, the Black Spades. Now with his focus on the community, he became an influential DJ with an ear for new and different sounds. A German group that experimented with electronic sounds during the mid-70s. At that time, they had been considered a novelty act. Now their music found an unexpected admirer in the Bronx.
First, I want to know who was these funky white boys from Germany that had this futuristic sound. When I first heard Transsexual Express, I mean, I just went crazy and started getting it jammed at every party that we played in the Bronx. And it was the Zulu Nation that pushed the hell out that record that just caught on like hellfire. with the black and Latino community. And I thought this would be the music for the future. So once I got into Trans Yoga Express, I started digging up a lot of other Kraftwerk records like Robots, Autobahn, so I looked around and started saying, I don't see no black electronic groups. So when Kraftwerk came out with Numbers, I said, yeah, that's where the electro funk would come.
Taking inspiration from Kraftwerk, Bambaataa created Planet Rock, which would provide a blueprint for a whole new musical movement, electro-funk. Street rhymes and attitudes, combined with electronic rhythms and textures. The track was created with the help of a young producer.
It's hard for me to imagine music before Planet Rock, actually. When I moved to New York and started hanging out with Bam, Trans Europe Express was really one of his favorite records. And I think some of the reasons why, it was a drum machine. No rock groups and no soul groups really were using drum machines at that time. So the beat was really steady. They could mix to it, and it was an interesting sound. I mean, it was a different, really different sound.
This record made my job easier. This record allowed me to go to the bathroom. This record allowed me to go get a soda. I can play it from and just go take a walk because it was funky. It didn't make sense to cut this record, to be DJing it, to DJ it itself.
As rap and hip-hop took off with black listeners, the music caught the attention of white rock acts.
I really had never really written a rap, and I wasn't an experienced rapper, and it was so exciting, and it really was part of that tradition of, you know, something new and something strange, and wow, this is really, nobody does this, this is really wild, and this is great, and it's very underground, and it's very hip.
That was fresh. What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on GeyserRadio.com. Tonight, the history of hip-hop. Man, I played that clip because I wanted to take you guys back in history of hip-hop. It's so funny. It's crazy to be able to sit here and talk about history. Well, talk about history that you lived where I've seen the development of hip-hop. And so it's so crazy. You know, if you guys didn't know, of course, hip-hop started in like the early 70s in the Bronx. And it started out with DJ Kool Herc Campbell, which is actually from Jamaica. But this is how crazy it used to be. Back in the day, they used to have these block parties all the time in New York City. Well, down in the Bronx, right? And pretty much how it used to go down, they used to tap, you know, the power poles, you know, the street lights or whatever. They actually used to tap into the light poles to get electricity. And then DJ Kool Herc would come out with these big old huge speakers, his sound system back in his PA system or whatever. And they would plug up into the light, the electricity. And then they would just throw block parties. I mean, the parties would start like around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they would last all night long. I mean, just out in the streets partying or whatever, right? And it's so funny. You're going to hear DJ Kool Herc's name a lot tonight because, like they said, he was the founder of hip-hop pretty much because he was all the essence of hip-hop. If you don't know about real hip-hop, hip-hop is created of really of four elements. There are actually four elements of hip-hop, okay? And so those four elements of hip-hop are, let me let you guys know right now, you have your graffiti, okay? So hip-hop, the culture of hip-hop is something visual. So that's where graffiti comes in. The graffiti art is like the visual side of hip-hop. Okay? Then you have breakdancing, you know, the b-boys. Breakdancers used to be called b-boys. I'll talk about b-boys more in the show later on tonight. But then you have the breakdancing. That's the physical. That's that you're feeling the beat of the music. You wanna groove. You wanna move with the music. You know, the style of dance that was with hip hop is break dancing. Okay, and then you have the third element of hip hop is the MC. That's the rapper. See, a lot of people, especially a lot of the younger people, and also corporate commercial America, they think that hip hop is rap music. No, rap music is just one element of hip hop. So the oral side of hip hop is the MC. That's the person who used to get on the mic, like they call them hype men now. They used to, you know, get on the mic and get the crowd all hyped up and geeked up and everything, right? But before the MC, then there was the DJ, the turntables, like the DJ Kool Herc. So the real, like a lot of the foundation hip hop was behind, you know, like the founding DJs, like DJ Kool Herc, or like Afrika Bambaataa, who started the Zulu Nation, who was in that clip that I just played, of like DJ Grandmaster Flash. He's like the first DJ to really much start like mixing things up. But we're going to talk about the MCs later on too. But I want to let you guys first know, I'm teaching you guys the history of hip hop tonight. So the first, the four elements of hip hop, like I said, you got the graffiti, that's the visual. You got the breakdance, and that's the physical. You got the MC, the rapper, that's the oral. Then you have the DJ. The DJ who brings it all together. That's what the DJ does, you know, with the turntableologist, you know, just get the party started, okay? But this is the other thing about hip-hop. As hip-hop has grown, I will really much say that there's two other sub-elements of hip-hop, you know. Those were the four foundation, but there's two other parts of hip-hop, too. I would say, like, the language of hip-hop. Well, I would say three. It's like the language of hip-hop because, you know, in hip-hop culture, you know, we change words. We made up words. We'll say stuff like, that's dope. You know, we're not talking about dope or drugs. We're talking about, like, that's cool or whatever. And that came from the origin of the word hip-hop itself that was created. And it's so funny. I've talked to so many people that say that they know hip-hop and they're part of hip-hop, and they don't even know how the word was originated. And the word hip-hop originated from two different words. The first word, hip, which was a slang word that was used in the, you know, as early as 1898. Our community was using the word hip since like 1898, which means the current or the end, the now, you know, the cool or whatever, right? And then the word hop was the movement of how we used to go to the, you know, go with the music and groove with the music. So that's how hip-hop was combined. Believe it or not, hip-hop was created by Keith Cowboy Wiggins, a member of the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. He created the term like back in 1978, you know, like in one of his rhymes, you know, he created hip-hop. And it just took off. The word hip-hop just took off. And that's what I'm saying. That's the other subculture the other sub-element of hip-hop, I would say, would be the language. How we created words. The word hip-hop was a combination of two separate words that created this culture of hip-hop that we know today. Okay? And I would say the other element of hip-hop, outside the major four, I would say it's the clothing, the dress. I mean, we used to rock things out. It's so funny. Back then, a lot of people in the community didn't have a lot of money. So what we would do, we would make so-called t-shirt clothes. I'll give an example. I can remember growing up in the 70s. Well, yeah, in the 70s, like if you had a hole in your pants, say if you had old jeans or whatever, they used to sell these jean patches, and you would take a patch and you would iron the patch on your pants to cover the hole up in your pants. And then you would rock the pants. Well, when hip-hop came around, you rocked them pants with the hole in them. That became cool. You know, in the hip-hop community, when it comes to the fashion, we used to wear like the jeans that weren't expensive jeans. We would wear like Lee jeans and Levi's, man. You would take your Levi jeans, you'll put a crease in them with some starch, man, and we would rock them. And that's the part of the fashion of hip-hop, you know. But I'm going to get more into the fashion of hip-hop and everything. So tonight we're going to talk about these four elements of hip-hop. So I'm going to start out with graffiti. We're going to talk about graffiti first. Graffiti, like I said, that's the visual side of hip-hop. So check out this clip on graffiti, because tonight we're talking about the history of hip-hop, but you can't claim hip-hop. You know, you have to be hip-hop. You got to live hip-hop. So if you're not part of hip-hop tonight, you're going to experience hip-hop with your man, Dwayne Abernathy, here on GeyserRadio.com, and this is Moving Forward. And tonight we're talking about the history of hip-hop, the culture of hip-hop, the real culture of hip-hop.
Graffiti has been around in all different parts of the world in one form or another, whether it was, you want to consider the cave paintings in Lascaux on down. People, by the time they had walls, they were writing on them. Early in the United States, beginning really in the antebellum years, people began to write on boxcars that would roll from coast to coast. In the hobo years of the Depression, that became even more prominent. There was always gang graffiti dating back to the 30s and 20s in Los Angeles and other parts of California, the Southwest. There was name-based graffiti all over the place. There was Kilroy was here, which actually sprung out of a suburb of Boston, oddly enough, and became this kind of global icon for the greatest generation. But when this odd combination of name and fame came together in the late 1960s in both Philadelphia and New York, it really exploded. And what was so magical and so important in the history of American graffiti were the years really 1971 to 1975 in New York. And what happened was a generation of kids, and it's really important to remember that. These were kids. There was almost nobody over the age of 19 involved in this. Developed a whole art form that went from a simple signature, just Joe was here kind of thing, all the way up to a mural that covered the entire side of a subway car. And this was something that had just never been seen in our history before, an entire movement just completely developed by kids.
Graffiti art is bigger than it's ever been. It keeps getting bigger, no matter what rules and laws the cities create. There'll always be the next batch of young kids that just want to go out and write on things.
We all who have that inner kid in us still can retain that appeal of what graffiti is, this just amazing amount of line and color that is in a public space. And then just the whole, how did they do that kind of factor. Graffiti is the rock and roll of visual art. It came from America, and it spread throughout the world. It took over the world. There have been very few American art forms that have lasted as long as graffiti, whether you're talking abstract expressionism or anything. The heyday of those periods was really maybe a decade at best in some cases. Graffiti keeps going after 40 years, and now that there's a public interest in graffiti, you have to capture that moment as historians.
I realized there really was no book that really told me what the history of Pittsburgh was, that told me what the history of Oregon was, what the history of Boston was. You know, there were little bits and pieces out there, but it wasn't there. And so many of these people are disappearing, dying, photos are disappearing, you know, getting trashed. And it was time, while graffiti in a way is so hot right now and so popular, to start digging all these people up from all these scenes and really tell the story.
When we started to make the history of American graffiti, we wanted to highlight all of the entire picture of it. A lot of the books had come out, and they had taken a small bite of this. So we decided to basically swing as hard as we could and do what we could. And that was a tough thing to do, of course, but it involved finding hundreds of people and getting them to get their old shoeboxes down, all these old photographs. And you have to remember, in early years of graffiti, adults were not taking pictures of this stuff. They were removing it.
Everyone will tell you a different answer to if their goal of writing graffiti is to become famous and go into a gallery, or if their goal is just to write their name as many places as they can and get better at it and better at it and, you know, paint more trains, paint more walls, paint more freeway signs. You know, everyone has a different reason. Graffiti's real explosion into the gallery and art world started in New York in the early 80s. And it was the cool new thing to buy. That whole movement definitely was the real early gallery movement where graffiti artists were able to transfer their works into the gallery and make a living from it, and some of them still are. Graffiti at its purest, at its rawest, at its best, and the true definition of graffiti is illegal. illegal art on a wall, you know, for me. That's what it means. You know, it works best on the street. It works best under a bridge. It works best on a train rolling by you. And that's what it is. You know, it's great that it's so much of it's been documented and you can show its historical relevance.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Tonight, we're talking about hip-hop. First element of hip-hop we're talking about so far is graffiti. Graffiti. Did you guys check this out, graffiti? Let me give you guys a quick little bit of information on graffiti. Graffiti has been around since the late 1960s. It's so crazy. Believe it or not, graffiti actually was more popular in Philadelphia than in New York. A lot of people think that graffiti really blew up in New York. It blew up in Philadelphia first, you know, around 1970, 71, you know. And then it moved, well, I take it moved more into New York City. You know, back in the day, you had like famous, like a hip-hop term for graffiti is tag, you know, or bombing. So you used to have some great graffiti artists that used to tag or bomb, like Kool Earl, and these are some originators of graffiti in Philadelphia. Kool Earl and Cornbread and then Top Cat. These are like some dudes that used to run around Philly and hold it down or whatever. And then, like I said, in New York, you know, graffiti started getting popular in New York or whatever. You used to have like these graffiti artists that used to like, you know, bomb the trains or whatever, then the trains would go from borough to borough to help these guys get, you know, get a name for themselves. You know, people like Fab Five Freddy and Zypher and Crash and Knock and Lee. I mean, everybody had all these different names. Another thing about hip-hop, too, when you join hip-hop culture, everybody has an alter ego name. Everybody had a different name, you know. Where, like with me, my name growing up, I was called Snapper or Snap. That was my name, right? So, you know, like I was saying, like a lot of these graffiti artists back in the day. Oh, if you guys get a chance, check out. There's a documentary. It's claimed to be like the very first hip-hop documentary, and it talks about graffiti. It came out in 1983. It's called Wow Style. So if you love hip-hop, if you really want to know the truth of hip-hop, you got to know, you know, where this thing came from. So check out this documentary called Wild Style. There's also a book that was written on graffiti called Subway Art, okay? And then there's another documentary called Style Wars. This, like I said, hip-hop has all, the hip-hop culture has these elements. All these elements are a part of hip-hop, but at the same time, they also, you get what I'm saying? But then we bring this all together, bring it all together, and that's what gives us hip-hop, okay? What I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break. Like I said, you guys, we're talking about the history of hip-hop tonight. So this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm taking a break, and I'll be back in a second. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com.
Battle anybody, I don't care, you down. I excel, they all fail. Gonna cocktail double. Yeah. won't, cause I make a lot of money and your boyfriend don't. LL, what the hell, gonna rock the bells? Or you washed up rap, wanna do this well? Rock the bells! DJ's name?
Cut Creator!
Now you know episode who's on the wheel. He'll drive the Crusader like a cutmobile. So precise with a slice that you know he's greater. What's my DJ's name?
Cut Creator!
Now you know.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What up, yo? This is your man, Dwayne Hebron, at you listen to YazzaRadio.com. And tonight's Moving Forward live broadcast. And we are talking about the history of hip-hop tonight. If it was for hip-hop, I wouldn't be the man I am today. We're moving on to the next element of hip-hop. This right here, I would say, is like what started bringing the people together. This is the element of hip-hop that really started giving hip-hop its claim to fame. Start letting people... It's almost like... I would almost say it's like the broadcast side of the thing, you know, almost like when the radio first came out, you know, the news, you know, really the hip hop, that was the DJ, the MC, not the MC, but the DJ. And like, once again, part of the reason why hip hop is here, it was called the DJ Kool Herc. DJ Kool Herc is the first original hip hop DJ. And there are so many great DJs who have followed him in the, you know, since then. But the first person who brought all these elements together, who brought the graffiti artists together, who brought the MCs together, who created this style of music play, was DJ Kool Herc. So that's why I'm going to play a clip. And this is literally an interview, a classic interview with DJ Kool Herc. These are his words. You guys are about to hear the words from the founding father of hip-hop, DJ Kool Herc, and this is the second element of hip-hop we talk about tonight, and that's the DJ. So we can't talk about the DJ if we don't go straight to the founder of hip-hop, DJ Kool Herc. So check out this clip. Like I said, this clip's about 8 minutes long, but it's worth playing you guys the clip because I want you guys to live hip-hop. I want you guys to experience what I experienced growing up. Hip-hop was in this infant. I keep saying the word wrong tonight. When hip-hop was in its baby stages, when it's first starting out, okay? You guys got to forgive me. I'm geeked up tonight, and I can't even get my words out tonight. But this is a real classic interview with DJ Kool Herc.
As I could see, it was extraordinary because the sound coming out was totally inarticulate. It was a load of rough noises, noises that sounded a little like a guitar, but had a sort of like a concrete chisel sound, right? And the sound, I realized, was actually coming from the way they were messing around with their hands on the decks, moving records backwards and forwards. But they weren't just doing it with one record, they were doing it with two, and they were mixing across one to the other. In fact, it was making music out of other people's music. Time went on, and I stuck around for an hour or so. The crowd was extremely volatile, and at times would jump into pitch battles. But at one point or another, people would move to the sides, and a group of kids would start freaking out in the middle of doing all these incredible gymnastic dancing.
What McLaren saw was called hip-hop, energy in motion that you could not stop, demanding all of your imagination if you were to share in the celebration. It wasn't enough to just be good, you had to be super bad, because when you hit that floor, your reputation was just about all you had.
I think hip-hop is being in control of your body. That's the whole art of it, actually understanding that you're much bigger than you are. It's a demonstration of your prowess. If you haven't got a dime in your pocket, the one thing you can do on Madison Avenue is spin on your head and show all the white honkies moving out of the Chase Manhattan Bank on the lunchtime and say, well, hell, beat that. And if you can't, here's my cap. Give me a few dollars.
But the story of hip-hop doesn't belong in New York, L.A., or London. That's wrong. The true story begins in devastation, bad housing, gang wars, and desperation. And the Bronx Ghetto, or Planet Rock. Let's take a minute and turn back the clock.
Howdy!
To the first hero of the hip-hop groove, the man who made the people move. From Jamaica, he came with a sense of rhythm, and what he brought to the Bronx was a sound system. Music he played made life work and made him a legend. Cool DJ Herc.
When Cool Herc gave a party, everybody be there. A lot of people say fun, big fun. That was a talk for the whole weekend. Oh, the whole summer, where did you party? I was partying with Cool Herc, man. Gave a block party, you know. The tennis court disco. A lot of other things. I can buy my records right over here. But now, you know, it's not there no more. Called Sounds and Things. And this is a ballroom up here. I have to play. Matter of fact, I play up there for the Transit Authority dinner one time. And, Mario Cuomo was there before he became governor. Basically, right here. This place called Galaxy 2000. And they had a big shootout here one time. Same time I played at Bronx River. I came back. I seen the canopy knocked down. The fire escape was let down. You know, and I knew something was wrong. The Bronx is on an uplift. I'm very pleased to see a lot of places being rehabilitated. But I think there's still more could be done. A whole lot. All those unforgettable promises from the South Bronx and the car that was came over. Made out of iron, right? But I never left the Bronx, and I love the Bronx. I don't want to leave.
What Herc did was throw down the sound of forgotten heroes like James Brown and separate the good stuff from the junk with the emphasis on a lot of funk. And in the middle of a funky sound, Kokla Rock, his rapper, would go to town. The music was hot, very loud, with participation to excite the crowd. Then Herc would drop a mighty blast with a golden oldie from Music Past.
Cedric, 1520. Over 10 years ago.
Look at that medallion. What happened to that?
We got stolen. I was on my band so I could show it. Place was packed.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Everybody showed up, had a good time.
Everybody put on their best that day.
And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, if something happened, I couldn't get into the party spirit no more, you know? I got injured. I got stabbed. Fatedly stabbed up. And that just put a halt to the whole thing. I walked right into it. You know, I didn't know where the knife came from. I just literally walked into it. I was hit 4 times. Laughing, pierced my hand. You know, went all the way through. It shouldn't have happened. So, and that just drove me to the show, you know. And I just stopped. I stopped playing for us, you know, accepting give. I wasn't out in the public eyes too much. That was the rise of a lot of DJs, you know. They were Herc wasn't on the scene, you know, this is our chance. And a lot of them dashed in and capitalized on it. DJs, you know, and the music that they used to come to hear at my party was all over now. Kool Herc is not a stepping stone, it's a horse that can't be rode, and it's a bull that can't be stopped, and it's a disco I can't rock. Rock on. Could have been on my obituary that this is the guy who started this, you know, this was what he did.
Though he may be a fallen hero, all will forever say that in the history of hip-hop, he was its number one DJ. You see, Herc had started something that not even his enemies wanted to stop. Cool DJ Herc had launched the birth of a movement called hip-hop. One night, I'm waiting till the record to play out. I said,
they're waiting for this particular break, and I have a couple more records got the same breakup in it.
I wonder how would it be if I put them all together. And I told them, I said, I'm going to try something new tonight. I'm going to call it the merry-go-round.
Stop the beat! Herc's merry-go-round meant that instead of playing whole records, he would play just the instrumental breaks, mixing between them to create a continuous dance rhythm.
I started out with Snoop Dogg. Leave down, dance around, clap your hands, stomp your feet. That part right there with the break, I had to come up with Bongo Rock. Baby Yui, you know, the Mexican. And I was like, whoa, I think we got some hit, you know, because people was like, oh, whoa, and everybody was like, yeah, 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 I'm feeling this, oh, yeah, 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 you know.
I just took y'all there. I just took y'all straight to the essence. That voice that you guys was hearing was DJ Kool Herc, the creator of hip-hop, okay? That's so crazy, man. When you think back, them guys back in the day, they was just doing it for the love. I mean, they was just rocking the crowd. They was learning. They were architects. They was the architect of their craft. They took something that people thought was nothing. Just think about it. Back in those days, most of the people that were so-called considered a musician were people who played instruments, you know, the drums, the guitar, piano. These guys think about the skill set that you have to take a record Smith to pull out these different sounds, and then you combine them together. That's what the DJ's done. It is so funny. Like, everybody in hip-hop in those days found their love, found what their skill was. And I can remember my first two things that I loved in hip-hop was, outside the fashion, I was always dressed to death. I was always dope and fresh. But anyway,
and it ain't till 12 till the party really start. And I always had to be home by 10, right before the fun was about to begin. Crowd of people like...
Testing, testing, testing. Man, we having some technical difficulties. I am about to go off. I'm about to lose my cool. There's all kind of technical difficulty tonight. How the hell are you going to have technical difficulty tonight when I'm doing my hip-hop show? This is like my ish. And this just, oh, get it together. Okay. Now, back to what I was saying. What in the hell? Okay, calm down. Exhale, Dwayne. Inhale. Woosah, woosah. Okay. Technology, man. Okay, anyway, back to what I was saying. Hip-hop, DJing, right? Everybody gravitate to what they love to do. So before we was the Showboys, my cousin Tony, right? I have to give it to Tony. Them, these guys were good. My cousin Tony, they were used to be in this breakdancer crew called the Latin Dancers or something like that. It was something crazy like that. But anyway, I used to breakdance too. But I fell in love with DJing. DJing was my thing because I just loved the music, blending the music, digging into the crates, getting, you know, the songs and coming up with all these different formats of DJing. I can remember how I bought my first set of turntables. I was like 15 at the time, I believe. I went and got a job at McDonald's. And a friend of mine who worked at McDonald's, his name was Steven. And what him and I did, we worked for like about 2 or 3 months or whatever. And we was like, we had to get all this DJ equipment. We're going to start DJing and all this stuff or whatever. And so we saved up our money from our McDonald's jobs or whatever. And then we went and invested and we bought our first DJ equipment. We went and bought some turntables, bought our amp, bought our speakers. It was on and popping, man. And that's what I'm talking about back in the day with hip-hop. You wanted to be a part of hip-hop. And it's so funny. Everybody, you know, they went their own most. But then we would all come together on the weekends, you know, and start, you know, having these hip-hop parties or whatever, right? But the DJ, like I said, the DJ was like the first artists outside of the graffiti artists. This was the first, you know, the technicians, you know, working with the music and working with the people, you know. And so, like, DJ Kool Herc, you know, like I said, he would sit there and he would study, you know, how to, you know, blend these songs together. But as you heard in that clip, he got injured. Somebody literally tried to kill him. You know, he got stabbed up like 4 times. I mean, he got stabbed like 4 times. And it's like, we almost lost the founder of hip-hop. So at that point, he became like a recluse. He just like, you know, like got into the background. He wasn't out as much as he was, which gave room for these other DJ crews that was coming out or whatever. So one of the next most prominent DJ crews out there was Grandmaster Flash, his crew, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. You know, you had like Grandmaster Flash. These are like the DJs who started mixing. These guys, the ones that started doing the tricks when it comes to DJing or whatever. So you had like DJ Grandmaster Flowers, Grandmaster Flash, of course, Grand Wizard Theodore, Grandmaster Cass. These guys right here started doing things with the music and started doing things with the turntables or whatever. And this is where the true mixing came in. Like, say, for instance, like when DJ Kool Herc, he was just like kind of like bouncing music back from back, side to side, you know, going from one song to another, things like that. But when it comes to Grandmaster Flash and his crew or whatever, these guys have started doing the true techniques of DJing and mixing. So that's why the very first DJ of hip-hop, of course, is DJ Kool Herc. But those techniques came from the Grandmaster Flash crew. And Grandmaster Flash is one of those founding members. So I had to play this clip because I got it. You can't talk about the DJs or how DJs do music in today's world where you get like the DJs like DJ Jazzy Jeff and DJ Premier and DJ Screw and all these great DJs, you know, in the history of DJing or like our modern day DJs without talking about Grandmaster Flash and his crew. And of course, scratching, everybody here scratching. That's scratching. These guys, one of the members of Grandmaster Flash crew, actually invented scratching. So I'm telling you guys, I'm taking you guys through the true history of hip-hop. So let's go to the next level of DJing. This is the era of DJing where, you know, they took it. And like I said, this is the mixing and the blending and the style of DJing. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, listening Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
One thing about Flash, Flash was a DJ. Kool was a record player. Oh. Yeah, let that play. My thing was to every great record, there was a great part. And this is what we used to call the get down part. This is before it was tagged the break. And this particular part of the record, unjustifiably, was like 5 seconds, maybe less. Kind of pissed me off. I was like, damn, why'd they do that? So mathematically, I was saying to myself, well, if I can figure out how to take the music that I love, where the break was so short, extend them particular sections, and make them as long as I chose to, that would really be the way to go. If I were to say it in a language that today's people could understand, I would have to say that I was a manual sampler.
Flash's great innovation was extending the disco break. But one of the other tremendous innovations was scratching, and that was created by Grand Wizard Theodore, who was a protege of Flash.
Just so on one particular day, I was in the house practicing, and the music was a little bit too loud. So my mom came and banged on the door and said, if you don't turn that music down, you're going to turn it off. She had the door open, and while she was talking to me, I was still holding a record. I was like, wow, this really sounds like something, you know. And I practiced with it and perfected it and used different records, and you know, that's when it became scratch.
You got to remember, hip-hop started off behind the DJ. It didn't start off behind the rapper.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rock and me.
My team.
Been had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand. Sheriff's flashes on my tail cause I'm in demand. One lonely B-C-I-P. All by myself without nobody. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot, the beer is getting flat. Looking for a girl, I ran
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com. What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. Today, February 9th, 2014, we are talking about the true history of hip-hop, Black History Month. Man, that song, Paul Revere, by the Beastie Boys, I used to love that song. And believe it or not, you guys, Beastie Boys was actually the very first white rappers in the history of hip-hop. It's so funny that, well, let me rephrase that. Technically, Blondie is the first white person to do a rap song, and she was a friend of Fab Five Freddy, okay? But Beastie Boys was the first white rap group who actually released the first hip hop album, the Beastie Boys. And it's so funny, if you guys ever see the album cover, well, my bad, they used to make albums back in the day. If you ever see an old school album cover or the artwork of Beastie Boys' first album, License the Eel, it actually shows the tail of an airplane. And the reason why they did that, they was afraid to put their pictures on there. They was afraid when the Beastie Boys' first album came out, they was afraid that they didn't want people to know that they were white. Because they was afraid that, you know, the Black community or the African-American community would not embrace them as hip-hop artists. And it's so funny. A lot of people don't know this, too, about Madonna. It was the same way with Madonna. Madonna sound Black when she first came out. She sound Black as hell. And no one at the time didn't know Madonna was even a white girl until she would start seeing on television. So that's just a little hip-hop note, a little hip-hop fact to let you guys know a little bit more history of hip-hop. Now, talking about the DJs before we move on to the next element of hip-hop, you know, some of the great DJs of all time that, you know, has spawned from this era of hip-hop with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five crew, you have great DJs, like I said before. You have, like, Mr. Magic, DJ Jazzy Jeff, DJ Scratch. He actually was in a group called EPMD, DJ Premier. He was also in a group Gangsta Star. And then you had DJ Scott La Rock. And it's so funny because, like I said, hip-hop also has a tragic past, too. And one of the first well-known DJs was DJ Scott La Rock. He was the very first MC or DJ that lost his life. Unfortunately, after he was part of a crew called Boogie Down Production with a rapper called KRS-One, Miss Melody, and all them. And DJ Scott La Rock lost his life a little bit right after their first album. And that started, it's so crazy. That also starts our era of having people in our community, you know, losing their lives. And so rest in peace, DJ Scott La Rock. He's like the first, you know, casualty that we've ever had in the history of the hip-hop culture. Okay, this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com. What we're going to do, we're going to move forward. And the next part, the next element of hip-hop we're going to talk about is the MC. Because, like I said before, you know, you just had the DJ. The DJ was, you know, doing his thing or whatever. But then after the DJ, because the DJ became before the MC used to just be the person to direct traffic and things like that. They just had to get on the mic to tell people, you know, to move their car or, you know, or, you know, clap your hands, everybody get up to the funky beat, you know. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the MC, the third element of hip-hop. So I'm going to take a break. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com.
Funky Fresh.
Say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, so then it went this way. Took a test to become an MC, and our instructor came amazed at me. So Larry put me inside the Cadillac. The chauffeur drove off and we never came back. They cut the record down to the bone, and now they got me rocking on the microphone. And then we're talking autographs and beers and laughs, champagne, caviar, and bubble bath. You see, that's the life that I lead, and you sucker MC. Take that and move back, catch a heart attack. Because there's nothing in the world that run no level like a cold chill at a party in a b-boy stand. And rock on the mic and make the girls wanna dance. Fly like a dove and cup them up above. I'm rocking on the mic and you can call me Run Love. I got a big long cat and not like it's a pill, and written right on the side and read best to kill. So if you see me cruising, girls, first come, first serve basis, cooling out, girl, taking you to death places. One of a kind, and for your people's delight, and for your sucker MC, this just ain't right, because you're biting on your life, you're cheating on your wife, you're walking around town like a hooligan with a knife, you're hanging on the ass, you're chilling with the crew, and everybody knowing what you've been through. I'm with the 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, my man Larry Lab, my name's DJ Run, we do it in the place with the highs and the bass, I'm rocking to the rhythm, want to watch the dog my face.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
2 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was deaf, and then it went this way.
took it. Boy, don't get me started, baby. Don't let me. Let me start getting my flow on, man. Oh my God, I used to love that song. It's so funny. I'm gonna tell you guys. Back in the day, I can remember we used to be in my cousin's basement, right? And I remember when that song first came out by Run DMC, right? We used to literally. This is the first rap song outside of Sugar Hill Gang, but I wasn't. They was kind of corny to me. But when Run DMC came out and I heard that song, I can remember I used to have this little boom box and I used to take the tape. Back in the day we had tapes, right? And I used to rewind the tape and write down the lyrics, rewind the tape again, write down the lyrics, and I would memorize that song because back in the day, you know, like where I was from, they didn't play rap music on the radio. And so once we got our hands on some of that music, oh my God, I used to just flow that song 2 years ago. A friend of mine. Oh my God! Don't get me started. Hey, don't y'all don't want me to get started saying my 16 bars? But anyway, we are about to talk about the MC. So once again, the MC pretty much was like the hand in hand, the right hand man of the DJ. But back in the day, the MC wasn't on the mic, you know, busting slow floors. If you guys don't know, that's rhyming. You know, that's rapping. That's saying. You know, telling a story, the storyteller. So that's who the MC is. He's the storyteller, right? But back in the day, he was just on the mic, just like I said, controlling the crowd a little bit or telling somebody they got to move their car or whatever. So now we got to get into the MC. This is the third element of hip-hop. So check out this clip about the MC, and then we're going to get back. I might even bust a freestyle for you guys. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward. It's a hip hop.
You gotta remember, hip hop started off behind the DJ. It didn't start off behind the rapper. And Flash and the early DJs, Graham Woods and Theodore and them, they said, here, take the mic, tell everybody how great I am. MC was the guy who like shouted out the DJ and announced a lot of the upcoming parties for the DJ, because the DJ was the man, you know what I'm saying? The MC was just like the help, you know what I'm saying? $100 nightman, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. But as time went on, they started getting more creative. The guy that set it all off. I was the, you know, such as they say now, set it off. I mean, get it going, get it happening, getting it live. On my verses, when I was rapping, when I got lost for words, I used to say hip hop, the hip hip hop, the hop, the hop, hip it in, hip it in, hip. Then you rock the hip, then you rock the hop, and you may see, you know, and when and you know that pretty much stuck with me. I walked in Charles Gallery in Harlem, and there was a rapper by the name of Eddie Chiba, and he was spitting rhymes, and people were responding to him. He said, who make it sweeter than Chiba, Chiba, Chiba?
Say, who makes it sweeter?
To us, rappers, that's where it started, with the crowd motivation, where we say things and the crowd would say things back, and somebody say, hold, oh, let me hear somebody scream.
Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody clap some hands. Come on, just keep your bar dance down the floor. We're going to do a little like an eel. We continue on with the music, y'all. It's time for you to be real.
First person I heard rhyming was DJ Hollywood. The whole thing was, get the bun out your back, you know, call and response type of thing.
Get the bun out your back, boy! Get the bun out your back, girl!
And he had like a real exaggerated type of voice. And it's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's plain as you can say, that kind of thing.
Everybody, come on, let's body rock. Now rock the freak and I freak the rock. Now play the music again, I just can't stop.
This was a party, and these are people going crazy, screaming and sweating, and I'm wondering if I get this, like Simon says, whatever I say, do, they're doing. People are like, what the hell is this? This was the beginning of hip-hop.
bridge is over. Bye bye bye. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. Hey hey hey. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. Bye bye bye. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. You see me coming in the dance with the flipper sensia. Down with the sound called BDP. If you want to join the crew, well, you must see me. You can't sound like Shan or the one Marley. Because Shan and Marley Marlin, my rhyming like the gay. Picking up the mic, man, them don't know what to say. Saying hip-hop started out in Queensbridge. Saying lines like that, man, you know them countless. So tell them again, me come to tell them again. Quah. Tell them again, me come to tell them again. Tell them again, me come to tell them again. Quah. Tell them again, me come to tell them. Manhattan keeps on making it, Brooklyn keeps on taking it, Bronx keeps creating it, and Queens keeps on faking it.
What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening to Moving Forward here on GuysAreRadio.com. And tonight, we're talking about the history of hip-hop. The bridge is over. So, like, right now, we talk about MCing. MCing was, once the MCs took over, it was a done deal. Like, when the MCs took over, hip-hop just started shooting through the stratosphere. Because at this point, when the MCs started, you know, saying their lyrics, it started creating things like battle rap. You know, and then that's at that point, that's when you like fighting for supremacy, like I have the power where I'm from. And it's so funny in New York, all the different boroughs, you know, was like, you know, fighting to see who had the best DJ and who had the best MC, or like they say, the crew. So everybody was in a crew. And it's so funny, that song right there, The Bridge Is Over, you know, because hip hop started in the Bronx. And he's talking about the Queens Bridge. So he's talking about the borough. He's talking about, you know, all the rappers over there in Queens, like MC Shan and Marley Marr and all them or whatever. And that was just the crazy part about hip-hop back then. It was so fun. It was, we didn't need the city. We didn't need the government to come in and try to control the teenagers or whatever. Back then, we created our own fun. We created this own culture to cut down on crime and everything. A lot of the people that was the founding members of hip-hop, they were gang members. When hip-hop became an alternative, instead of fighting somebody or trying to kill somebody, we just show how deaf or dope you could be by your DJing skills or your flow on the mic as an MC or a battling, doing, you know, break dancing. And that's the great thing about hip-hop or whatever, right? But the MC, some of the dope back in the day, of course, was, you know, KRS-One and MC Shan and Run DMC and LL Cool J and Houdini and Salt and Pepper. And you know what's so funny? I learned something tonight I did not know that Angie Stone was actually involved with one of the first female rap group, Sequence, I think that was the name of them or whatever. I just found that out tonight. It's just so funny. That's what I'm just saying. But back to the MCs. So like back then, you know, the MCs would just hold it down, but then it gave hip hop, you know, the news. It was like the news of the ghetto at that point. That's what let people, if you weren't from New York City, you knew what was going on in New York. There were some people who had no clue what Queens was all about. But when you start listening to rappers from Queens like LL Cool J or MC Shan, you knew what was, you know, was going on in Queens. Then you had rappers like Kumo D or rappers like KRS-One. I think KRS-One, you know, he's from the Bronx, so you know what's going on in the Bronx. And that was where the MC just took over. And like I said, that's where rap music just started going through the stratosphere, right? So at this point, I'm gonna tell you guys a funny thing. Like I told you, like the DJ and the MC always had a relationship. And so, like I told you, my thing in hip-hop, you know, was DJing or whatever. You know, so I used to deal with a lot of rappers. But when rap music, when the rappers start coming out, the MCs start coming out, I remember me and my buddy named Rodney White and his cousin. I cannot remember his cousin's name. We decided we want to start us a rap crew like Run DMC, right? But instead of me being a DJ, actually it was going to be a rapper. And our names was King Delight and King Divine. My rap name at the time was King Delight. That didn't last long at all. Once I realized that I wasn't too good at rapping, that ended my rapping career and I got back to DJing. But that's my little story on being an MC. So, it's so funny. A lot of people who don't know the rap industry the hip-hop culture, they always think it's just the rapper. But no, the rapper, the MC, is just another element of hip-hop. Well, I'm going to take a break, and when we get back, I'm going to get into our fourth original element of hip-hop, and that's the B-boy, breakdancing. You know, and I'm trying to get through all this tonight because, you know, I'm running out of time. There's just so much to talk about when it comes to the hip-hop culture. When we get back, we're going to talk about the B-Boy. Be back in a second. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You're listening Moving Forward here on YizerRadio.com.
About great dancers or b-boys with the people out here in the world is that they're not dancing, that everything they're doing is just happening at the moment, and they don't know what they're doing. They're just doing it. They're just going crazy. Breaking is a legitimate dance, as legitimate as any other dance that has existed. Dance does have a history and a lot of heroes that no one's ever going to know. If you look at the socioeconomic situation in New York in the late 60s and early 70s, you could see how something like hip-hop could spawn itself, because there wasn't that much happening at all. So there's all this energy in the young person, and then these elements of expression are around. You want to draw to them.
Hip-hop is not rap. Hip-hop is a culture which consists of four elements. It's b-boying, DJing, MCing, and graffiti writing. What it did is it gave them an option in which each individual
chose on how to express themselves. And that is the truest form of what hip-hop is.
See, with hip-hop, the rules are being made on the spot. We can call a move, whatever we want to call it, on the spot. For an individual, that's empowering. That's something that, wow, you definitely want to be a part of that.
B-boy comes from the terminology beat boy, because we dance to a specific beat to a record. It's a gesture of a fight without actually touching someone, but with the same intensity of a battle of the game.
The battle is what the B-boy is about. He lives for that battle. There's nothing else.
Other influences in B-boy, kung fu movies, gymnastics, and then the music with James Brown and certain steps that he did. It was a mesh to create one specific dance.
The US B-boys, like in the early years, were our heroes here in Europe. We tried to grab every little bit of Rocksteady Crew, New York City Breakers, and they were the great heroes, our great heroes.
I could describe Kenny in one sentence. He's the last true B-boy of his generation.
A lot of dances stay exactly the way they are. They're not allowed to evolve or use anything else. Breaking is just unique the way it's all put together. It's like the ultimate dance, because you could take from everywhere, but you just had to put B-boy's flavor on whatever you took from.
In the late 70s, B-boy basically branched out, and that's what caught the media's attention.
The culture of hip-hop visually was brought out to the masses of the world because of the movie Flash Hip, because of breakdancing, not because of a rap record.
In Germany, breakdancing came first, and then, of course, with breakdancing came the music, but nobody was really interested into rap music at the time.
Everybody sees it, and it becomes really big. And especially with young people, they're going to try it right when they see it.
あの、ね、有名な一人でのシーンがあって、まあ、そのバックスピンだけじゃなくて、バックスライドとか、そういう、今まで見たことのない、そういうなんか肉体表現に頭をこう脳天バーンってされたような気分で。
We only went to the movie not to see Jennifer Beals, not to see that love story. Everybody just went into the movies to see the Rocksteady dancing on the streets.
Quand j'ai vu le mec tourner là, c'est comme s'il y avait un signe du destin concret qui faisait que ça c'est pour toi. C'est un mouvement de la vie, c'est un mouvement Ah, c'est personnel après, c'est au niveau de l'émotion.
In the 80s, what happened was it got exploited.
It was just quick fad.
You know, they don't know what it's really about. They don't understand that all of us, that we're much better than what these guys are doing, and that they don't have a clue.
It was ugly. It got really bad. And that was the end of it, you know, to where they said, okay, we sucked everything we can out of it these last 2 years. They were done.
Hold me back. Hold me back on pop locking. What's up? It's your man, Dwayne Abernathy. You listen to Moving Forward here on YazzaRadio.com, and that was our fourth founding element of hip-hop, breakdancing, the B-boy. Man, I love breakdancing. Man, I can remember I was out in L.A., like modern-day hip-hop and dancing, you know, they have like crumping and all that stuff. But I can remember I was out in L.A. like 2 years ago, and I went to this club, and I felt like I was back in the day, the early days of hip-hop, because they actually had dance battles out there. But they had the B-boys, which was like break dancers, against the crumpers. My God, it was like off the chain. I loved it. They was putting it in. But break dancing, the breakers, the B-boys. So they were the ones that was the physical. Could you imagine this art of dance that was created from, you know, they took different styles of dance and from watching not only different types of dances, different elements of dance and different of artwork. Like, say, for instance, they took, like, African Brazilian-type dance, and then they mixed it with, you know, Asian martial art movement to Russian folk dance. Then they take dance moves from the greats like James Brown and Michael Jackson. Breakdancing. I used to love breakdancing. I was good for being either the prop man or I was good. One of my favorite breakdance moves was the leg swipe and windmill. I could never windmill, though, at all. But my cousin Tony, he used to be a windmill his butt off. I don't know what windmilling is. There's different dance moves in breakdancing. Some of the hottest moves of breakdancing, you had the windmill. You had the head spin. You had the jackhammer. The jackhammer is crazy. Could you imagine the strength? You got to understand something. To be a breakdancer, you had to be in shape. And you had to be strong because you're doing all your own body weight. You're controlling your body weight. So like the jackhammer, somebody, you literally jumping on one hand, spinning around on one hand. You got like the head spin. You had the body spin. You had the back spin. Man, it's just so many different moves. The flare. Oh, I can remember the first time I saw the flare. I get into that in a second. But I'm just letting you guys know, like, it's just so many different moves to breakdance. Like, the breakdance is like say, for instance, watching the floor routine of a gymnast or whatever. And if you get a chance, just go to this website called list25.com, and it will show you the top 25 breakdancing moves. But breakdancers, like I said, you used to have all these little dance crews or whatever, right? But two of the hottest breakdancer crews of all time, of course, was the Rocksteady Crew and the New York City Breakers. And I can remember the first time I ever seen them perform. It is so funny. It was actually the night I met my wife. Back in 1984, there used to be this concert tour called the Fresh Fest Tour. And that's when they took all the elements of hip-hop. You had your MCs. You had your DJs. You had your breakdancers. And then you had your graffiti. I mean, it was like one of the best concert tours ever of all times. And it's so funny, LL Cool J was performing that night. And that's actually, I met my wife at that concert. But that was the first time in my life I got a chance to see the Rocksteady Crew breakdance in real life. Oh, my God. It was just like, and that was the first time I ever seen the legs flare. It was like, it's called the leg swipe. But I mean the breakdancer, oh, it's so funny, like in the clip, I'm just geeked up about the breakdance because I love breakdancing so much, but just like in the clip they're talking about that movie Flashdance, I can remember that is so true. The only reason why we went to go see that movie Flashdance was just to see the breakdancing scene. And then also the movie, it was a movie that came out back in the 80s called Footloose. The only reason why we went to go see Footloose is because of the breakdancing scene. But it's so crazy. Breakdancing was like the first of, I would say, element of hip-hop that got exploited, where commercialism came in. Because I can remember they used to hold breakdancing lessons, and they used to have like breakdancing lessons like Saturday morning at the malls and stuff. And like people actually used to pay for their kids to learn how to break dance. You, like I keep telling you guys, you can't buy hip hop. You had to be hip hop. But you know, when we used to break dance, and we used to dig in the trash cans and get cardboard so you could spin better, you know, on cardboard, or get linoleum. Don't get linoleum from the floor. Oh my God, you would spin your butt off. But yeah, it was the first element of hip hop I could say that was really exploited, was break dancing. And then, you know, it kind of made it die out because a lot of people started breakdancing and everything, and then it just made it, you know, it corny or whatever. So people started not breakdancing as much. But breakdancing has made a comeback. There's a lot of, you know, breakdance competition today. It's still one of the great, strong elements of hip-hop. Well, this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm going to take a break. When I get back, we're going to talk about the record industry, how the record industry finally woke up and decided this hip-hop thing was not going away, and how they started getting involved in the hip-hop business, which I think was great for the hip-hop business, but at the same time, it started tearing it apart. This is where the commercialism came in hip-hop. But like I told you guys before, everybody was just doing this for the love of hip-hop. But now money's involved when the first record's made. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'll be back after this break.
Here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that Rob and me.
My team.
Been had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand. Sheriff's watches on my tail cause I'm in demand. One lonely BCIP. All by myself without nobody. The sun is get some. I said you can't get none. Had a chance to run, I pulled out a shotgun. Quick on the draw, I thought I'd be dead. He put the gun to my head and this is what he said.
Now my name is MCA, I got a license to kill. Yeah. I think you know what's up.
I have to do the kind of same thing if you was from my family, but it could spare my life. Believe me, friend, you'll never see me around your daughter again.
Early hip-hop was a machine. It required DJs, it required dancers, it required rappers. And when Sylvia Robinson went out and took the Sugar Hill Gang, which was really a Spice Girl rap group, a group that was made up of non-rappers, and said, you can make a record of this stuff, kids weren't thinking about that. This was just something to have fun. Rap on record was completely revolutionary, and it was something that had never really occurred to the folks who'd been in the game as rappers prior to that moment. It took Sylvia Robinson, who was an older woman, an entrepreneur, an artist in the rock and roll era, to make it happen.
I never knew anything about rap at that time, but my niece was giving a birthday party for me, and I saw this DJ playing music, and he was saying things to the kids, and they would answer him back. And I said, oh my God, that's a great idea. And I felt the spirit in me that said, you put a concept like that on record, and you go to the moon.
What she did was very, very ballsy. Not only did she conceive of making a rap record, but she also assembled her own rap group.
Just like I put the Moments together in the 70s, I put Sugar Hill Gang together. Big Bang Hank, he was working at the pizza parlor.
Hank closed up the pizza shop and jumped in Ms. Rob's car and started auditioning right there with flour all over and everything. And then Massachusetts walking down the street, she gets in the car and starts auditioning.
In fact, they had their own names like Master G, Wonder Mike, but they didn't know each other.
She was, you know, gracious enough to say, okay, let me hear what you got. And I said, the hip. She said, what? And I started incorporating everything I saw from the dog to the statue to the library books. And she said, that was pretty cool. So that was kind of like the opening hook.
I said,
I knew all crews, what they were doing, when they were doing it, and where they were doing it. But strangely enough, in 79, there was this record to the hip-hop, the hibbity-hibby. I'm like, well, hold up. Who are these people?
Sylvia just got three people that she could mold together. Oh. 3 days, the boy band thing. Let me find three people that I can put together and start a group. There was no Sugar Hill Gang. They had no history. They seemed like interlopers.
One person I know to be a bouncer, and some of the rhymes that he was saying, I heard from Cold Crush, Grandmaster Caz.
At the time, Rapper's Delight came out, and a lot of hip-hop people were pretty salty about it, because, you know, these guys weren't really a hip-hop group, and the rhymes came from Grandmaster Caz, and it was phony, in a sense.
Big Bang came from Sugar Hill Gang. He got down with us as acting manager. He took a loan out from his parents to buy us a bigger set. He had to get a job in New Jersey to pay back the loan, so that's where Sugar Hill people asked him to be down on this record they were doing. Personally, I was shocked because Hank is not an MC. You know, he was the manager, so I would figure that he would say, well, I'm not an MC, but I manage these guys that's on this tape, but whatever.
Kaz and the Cold Crush were sitting there wondering, well, why didn't they just come to us and make a record? So how come we're left out of it?
I figured if something comes out of it, I guess we're next. So he said, you know, I want to use some of your rhymes. I just threw a book on the table and said, whatever you want to use. You know, that turned out to be I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A-S.
I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A-S, the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix.
Big Pink Hank starts his second verse like saying someone else's name. I'm pretty sure that Sylvia wasn't too threatened. It's not like he would go out and hire a high-powered lawyer.
You can talk all you want about how, oh man, I'm not with Rapper's Delight. That's not a cool record. but people were still playing it at the party and people were still dancing. I mean, that's something that hip-hop has always struggled with, but rappers have found that if you can make a popular record that makes people dance, that's most of the battle right there.
You cannot deny the fact that Sugar Hill Gang was the first big rap group. And if we don't get any respect from someone, screw them. We open the doors for a lot of people.
It sold like crazy. It was a top five record all over Europe, also in the Far East. It was just a phenomenal thing.
When I heard Rapper's Delight, I was just in heaven because you could understand all of the words that were being said, so it was very easy for me to catch on and rhyme along with it.
There was something that connected that I could do that. That was a time when every kid had a rap with their name in it, you know, and everybody had one that started at the age of one. I had just begun on my journey to the T.O.P., you know.
All I know is that this changed the game of hip-hop. This record just set the goal to a whole nother level now. It wasn't rule the Bronx or rule Manhattan or rule whatever. It was now, how soon can you make a record?
Sylvia Robinson changed the game. She's the creator that made the first hip-hop record, the first boy band in hip-hop, the Sugar Hill Gang. But, you know, a lot of people in the hip-hop community, everybody loved the song Rapper's Delight, but they still felt that they weren't real. So to move forward, Sylvia Robinson ended up, you know, signing groups like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, true people, true pioneers of hip-hop. So at that point, hip-hop just grew and blew up. But it's so funny, it's a lot of controversy behind the Sugar Hill Gang, because also, there's also controversy that some people claim that the Rapper's Delight was not the first hip-hop record made. Some people claim that King Tim III, Personality Jock, was the first hip-hop record made in 1979. They said that it came out March 25th of 1979, which was like about a few months before Rapper's Delight came out. But everybody knows in the hip-hop world that, you know, Rapper's Delight pretty much was the first record that came out that claimed to be hip-hop and rap. So that's why we give Rapper's Delight, you know, the credit for being the first hip-hop record. But hip-hop took off from that point on. At that point, everybody's like, yo, let's make a record now. So now we got to get into the era of people like, yo, you know, you want me to sign? This is where signing records come in, like, yo, let's make a record. Instead of me doing something live, let's make a record and let's start making some money. But I have to move into, because the show, we only have 8 minutes left, but I have to talk about, as hip-hop moved forward, here comes Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons, like the godfather of hip-hop. You know, by this point, Russell Simmons, he had already started getting in with his brother, Run DMC, who was managing them, and Kumo D, not Kumo D, but what's his name? Oh, my God, I can't remember his name. Curtis Blow. So everybody started making in music as making records of hip-hop for these bigger companies. But Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin decided to create a first flagship rap label strictly dedicated to rap music, and that's Def Jam Records. So I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to play this clip about Def Jam Records, because that's how we're going to end the show tonight, is end it with Def Jam Records, because we have been through the four elements of hip-hop. Now hip-hop records is being made. Hip-hop's blowing up. I'm telling you, it was all over the place by this time. Radio stations are starting to decide to play hip-hop rap music on the radio. Now the money's involved. It's not enough time to get into all the changes that happen once money start getting made in hip-hop. But we're going to move forward. It's here. Now it's, like I said, it's mainstream now. So I'm going to take a break and we're going to get into Def Jam Records, the flagship hip-hop record label.
South Bronx, the South wrong.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881. Or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.
So Rick Rubin was out there in a danceteria. He was a member of the Beastie Boys. He was a DJ, double R. I met him in danceteria because Jazzy J brought him to me. Jazzy J was on the record, It's Yours, Tito Rock, the best record on the radio. We talked in danceteria, and he played me his drum machine. He had so many beats, we started a record label. The record label put out LL's first record. The record store didn't know what was in the box, because it said Def Jam again, and It's Yours was Def Jam. It was a core community that went to that cool store that bought the cool records, and that record was the next after It's Yours. Rick owned and created the label, Def Jam, that was his.
What's up? This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, Def Jam Records. We only have 4 minutes left in tonight's show, but I want to let you guys know hip-hop is here. It's here to stay. It's something that was considered a fad. And I tell you guys, if it wasn't for hip-hop, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I live my life by hip-hop. And you know, all the critics out there about hip-hop, I'm going to let you guys know right now, hip-hop did not create violence. Hip-hop did not create sex. Hip-hop did not create corruption. You know what I'm saying? If anything, hip-hop is something that's pure, and there's people that's part of any culture that can create the violence, the corruption, in any culture you live in. So anybody who out there has a critic of hip-hop, I'm going to tell you, walk outside your door and you look around, because everywhere that you see around you in today's world is hip-hop. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. We're closing out tonight's show. And like I said, we're closing out one more clip about Def Jam Records. It's so funny. Def Jam Records, Russell Simmons, they changed the game. Flagship record label, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, like I tell people all the time, hip-hop culture has created more entrepreneurs and more millionaires than the civil rights movement. People don't understand something. Hip-hop is actually, we spawn out of the civil rights movement. I get it, civil rights, peace, no violence or whatever, but you know what? We decided that we want to take it. We took our place in this country, in this world, and a lot of people don't even give us credit and understand the fact that we took it. We wasn't marching. We wasn't asking to let you let us, you know, eat in your restaurants or whatever. We created our own style, and we created something and made the world come to us, and that's why a lot of people don't understand about hip-hop. Hip-hop is misunderstood. But this is your man, Dwayne Abernathy. I'm out. I love you guys. I will talk to you guys later. And remember, keep it fresh and funky. This is your man, Dwayne Abernathy, and I'm out, and I will see you guys on Thursday. Peace, and remember, knowledge is not power.
That's my favorite
knowledge.
Line. Think about that, right? Why can't I come through?
Def Jam, how did that come about while you were in college?
Well, that story is, I was Rick in college. I was already manager for, I produced records and everything. It was Curtis Blow and Run DMC.
This was before Rick Rubin?
Yeah. Then Rick came along, and he made It's Yours for Tito Rock, and I found it, and I heard that record, and I met with Rick, and then I was starting my own company because I had a big little buzz that I built up with the artists I was managing. They wanted to be a record company, and I ended up doing a deal with Rick to just help him with the independent label. He was a part of the Beastie Boys. He was a DJ, Double R. We started a company. We put out the LL Cool J, I Need a Beat. Mm. And LL Cool J, I Need a Beat was hot, and then they were still wanting to make a label, and I said, fuck it, let me fold up with my man here, and we started Def Jam. Mm-hmm. It was his idea for the Def Jam logo.
And so he made up the name too?
He's the thing with DEI.
Oh, okay.
And in the hood,
That's white people stuff right there.
But that's good, though. That
is good.
That's white people stuff. That's true.
Yeah.
Because, like, in Long Island, that's why I had no boundaries. Mm. And I like that because I used to do everything I could just to disrupt the system. They hated me. Mm. I was a little scraggly nigga. They didn't like me in the black music department. I used to come up there and I had my little fisherman hat on and, you know, I'd be high and I was just not the type of dude they liked.
LL Cool J is hard as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care, you tell. I excel, they all fail. Gonna cocktail double Elma.
Hello, this is Dwayne Abernathy with 14 Generation Technical Services. In today's world, businesses need a video surveillance camera system. Some of the benefits of installing a camera system are they will improve safety, reduce shrinkage, reduce accidents, increase your bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give your customers a sense of peace. Here at 14 Generations, we specialize in new state-of-the-art technology cloud surveillance systems for restaurants, retail, lodging, offices, and we specialize in daycare centers. In addition to sales, we offer service, maintenance, training, and installation of these customized video surveillance systems. If you would like more information, please contact us at 888-751-8881. Once again, that's 888-751-8881, or log on to 14generations.com. That's the number 14 in the word generations. So once again, that's 14generations.com.